It's Friday, the 29th of January, 2016. Happy birthday to Mark L. Brown, Marc Gasol, and me. To the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and Giddish87. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast like Giddish87, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can become a sponsor of the podcast. It is really that simple. Also, if you didn't see or hear yesterday's episode, I'm running a contest for iTunes reviews. Basically, whoever is the 400th review, and we got a stack in yesterday, didn't quite get to 400, so the competition's still going. You guys won't be able to see that in your country you're at, because you can only see the amount of reviews in your particular country. I can see them all. I've got them all collated. I know how many reviews there are total, so you won't be able to just hold off. I'm going to be number 400. I'm not going to be number 400, because it's from all around the world. So leave your review. If you're number 400, you get an NBA jersey of your choice. It's very straightforward. I'll be in contact with you if you are the 400th person and send you out an NBA jersey. So get across to iTunes, spend 5 minutes writing a review. Hopefully it's a good one. And you can become a sponsor of the podcast for a day and you can get yourself an NBA jersey if you are that 400th person. So thank you to the stack of people who left reviews yesterday. And let's hope that in the next day or two, we can get to the number 400 and give out this NBA jersey. All right, we are going to do our usual here. We're going to cover the games from Thursday. We're going to preview the games from Friday. So, no more mucking around.
Let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night goes to Monte Ellis of the Indiana Pacers. Didn't really think I'd be saying his name in conjunction with the monstrous line of the night this season. 35 minutes for Monte. A 4x5 line, which is obviously fantastic. 25, and it's a 5x5 if you include three-pointers. 25, 5 and 6. 5 triples, 5 steals, 1 block. He went 7 of 11 from the field, hit all 6 of his free throws. A very, very impressive night for Monte. He is on fire over the last 2 weeks. He's a top 30 player over that stretch, going 18-3 and 4.5, 2 steals, 1.5 threes. After a really shaky start to the season, he is kicking it up numerous notches. He's been helped by the fact that George Hill was out for that time, and that really kicked his assist numbers up. But he is still averaging 5 assists on the season. A real rarity from a guy who is a shooting guard. That's a stack of his value. 5 assists, 2 steals. That's superb numbers. He's not a big three-point shooter. The 2 a game he's hit over the last 4 is probably not something that's going to be sustainable, but he's going to score decently, and he's kicked that up over the last month as well. But the assists and the steals is where the real value comes from Monte. And over the last 2 weeks, when you're shooting over 50% from the field, you're getting tremendous numbers out of him. This feels like a real sell-high moment, though, if someone's going to believe he's going to be a top 30 player. I don't. I think he'll regress a little bit from here because he won't shoot over 50%. He won't hit 1.5 threes a game. All that stuff will come down. So if someone's buying into this recent run of form, let him buy in, and I'd be happy to buy low. But he's a guy who's going to be in that 50 to 70 sort of range, I think, for most of the season from here. Just not a top 30 player moving forward. The waiver wire line of the night goes to Ben McLemore of the Sacramento Kings. 31 minutes for McLemore. Like Monte Ellis, he hit 5 triples. He went 26-4-2, had a steal, and was 9 of 17 from the field. He's shown big, not stretches, flashes of this over the last couple of seasons. I thought he'd have a real breakout season this year. He hasn't been able to be consistent. George Karl hasn't been able to be consistent with his minutes, and that's left him on the outside looking in for standard leagues. But a very big performance here from McLemore. Now, it did come with Rudy Gay out, so that's obviously another factor, but he outplayed Marco Bellinelli, which is something he's going to have to do to retain that value moving forward. We don't do anything with him at this point. He's probably just maybe a 14-team league guy to add. He probably wasn't even owned in a 14-team league. Maybe I'd add him there, but we're not adding him in 12-team leagues until we can see he stays at a 27 to 30-minute role moving forward, and I don't have a massive amount of confidence in that being the case with Ben McLemore and with the way George Karl is running things in Sacramento. The young gun of the night, this man again, Nikola Jokic, 25 minutes, 15 and 10, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 7 of 12 from the field, the 1 of 3 from the free throw line is not something that's usual for him, but some big numbers. He is a top 30 player over the last 2 weeks in 21 minutes a game. Yeah, he is going to be incredible if he could get 30 minutes. I don't think he's going to get 30 minutes this season, but 23 to 25 minutes is probably the right area for him, and he has to be owned in those sort of minutes. He's doing bits and pieces of everything. Really good free throw shooter on the year at 79. You know, big field goal percentage, block shots, steals, rebounds, assists, threes, points. Doing little bits and pieces in numerous categories. He's looked fantastic. I just wish that Malone would play in big minutes, and also wish that Malone would try him next to Yusuf Nurkic a little bit more. We've seen some big lineups work in certain teams with Alex Len and Tyson Chandler being a recent example. And I think that Jokic and Nurkic is more, it's harder to pronounce, but it's also more flexible than a Len Chandler, because Jokic can hit threes. Jokic can stretch the floor a little bit. He's not a great stretch guy, but he can hit a three. He can attempt a three. He can take a deep two. And yeah, he can work as a power forward. I don't understand why Malone is completely against using him at the four. I think he can work well in that area. And I think that him and Nurkic as the four and five could be a real nice combination once Nurkic loses some of that excess pudding that's around his stomach at the moment. The dud of the night goes to Otto Porter of the Washington Wizards. He lasted just 15 minutes complaining of hip tightness, 2 points, 2 rebounds, 1 steal. This is not a good sign from a guy who's had hip problems basically every year of his NBA career, and that's only a 3-year career. Just came back from some hip issues. Really not good. Now, we're holding on to Otto Porter at this point. Kelly Oubre does not become an automatic add or anything like that. The guy who's going to benefit the most is Jared Dudley. Garrett Temple will retain a few extra minutes, even with Bradley Beal back, because Temple played 38 here, even with Beal getting minutes off the bench. But they're real borderline 12-team league options, definitely not must-own players by any stretch. And we just hold off on Porter, and we see exactly what's going to be happening with the Wizards and with his injury over the next couple of days, see what sort of information comes out. But for now, it's a pain, but what can you do? The answer is pretty much not much. Before we move on to the optimal DFS lineup, just if you can't see this jersey, I'm wearing my LSU Ben Simmons jersey today. Can you see it? There you go. If you're watching on the video, got my array of jerseys happening. That's the Ben Simmons jersey then. Just thought I'd show you that one. Let's get into the perfect lineup from Thursday. At point guard, Norris Cole at 39.4. Once we knew that Tyreek was out, he was going to have every chance to put up some big numbers. And as bad as he is, the minutes are important, and he can rack up some counting stats at times. Decent night from Cole. He was a great option once you knew Tyreek was out. Kyle Lowry at 51. The wrist was obviously no problems for him. The Knicks were missing key players. That was a really, not an easy one, but one that had a lot of common sense behind it. Monte Ellis at 50. No one could have predicted he'd put up that sort of number. And Jim Butler at 55, a pretty nice night for him, going up against the decrepit Lakers. At small forward, Danilo Gallinari put up 41 points. He continues to put up nice, solid, not spectacular numbers, but 41 is pretty good though. Nice numbers. And Jeff Green with the occasional breakout, 26.5. He is strictly a tournament-only guy in DFS. He can go big, but it's probably 2 out of every 7 or 8 games that he puts in a decent performance. Ryan Anderson at power forward, 51.8, a big night from him. Could have been much bigger. I think he had 18 points in the first quarter, 30 points in the first half. He ended with 36 total points scoring-wise. That gave him 51.8 DFS points. Could have been a lot bigger, but was still pretty impressive. And again, once we knew Anthony Davis was out, which he was always going to be, Anderson was a very, very tasty option, and it turned out that way. The Bulls front court with Nikola Mirotic out, Taj Gibson and Pau Gasol feasted on the poor, poor Lakers. Taj had 30.7 and Pau Gasol had 46.9 for a total of 392.5. And to be honest, with the exception of Monte Ellis and Jeff Green, most of those other ones made a lot of sense. So I reckon there was some didn't have a DFS lineup in today, but I reckon there would have been some very, very high numbers in cash games and in GPPs with where the cash line actually was, because some of these picks, the common sense picks to me anyway, really went off. And that's a recipe for having some big numbers in DFS. All right, we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsors, and then we'll be back to look at the box scores in a little bit more detail. All right, we're back now from that little break from the sponsors. So thank you to the sponsors for sponsoring the podcast. That's what sponsors do. Let's look at these games in that extra bit of detail that we do on every show. The first game is the Atlanta Hawks and the Indiana Pacers. The the Pacers with the big victory again. But probably key here is the way that Jeff Teague's playing. Really stepped it up over the last couple. 31 minutes, 20 points, 2 threes, 5 assists and a steal. The rumors are still there. But Dennis Schroeder reduced to only 14 minutes here. 5, 1 and 2. I'm still holding Schroeder just because we've got the trade deadline. You know, they're 5, 6 games away and I want to see what goes down then. But if nothing happens, then Schroeder is hard to own. He'll have stretches where he plays 22, 23 minutes. But he'll have stretches like this where he doesn't do very much at all. So I'm holding him for now, and I think that you should hold him for now as well and see what happens over the next week or so. But yeah, Teague definitely playing into some bigger numbers at the moment. Paul Millsap lasted just 13 minutes before spraining his ankle. 4 and 5 for Millsap in 13 minutes with a steal and a block. So that meant that extra minutes went to guys like Tiago Splitter, who played 20 minutes. We had Mike Muscala get a couple of minutes. Mike Scott plays 17 minutes as well. If Millsap happens to miss, Mike Scott would be the guy to add for a short-term guy. I would think that he's probably more fantasy-friendly player than Splitter. But Splitter would be interesting if he got 25 minutes because he'll help your boards get some blocks and be a nice field goal percentage boost. So I guess it really depends on what sort of numbers you'd be looking for, whether you'd add Splitter or Scott, and both of them are not really must grab for one game in a 12-team league sort of spot. Al Horford had 14, 4, and 4 with a steal and 3 blocks. A nice night for him, despite being left off the All-Star ballot. And Thabo Sefolosha played 27 minutes for 13 points. He had 2 steals and a block, while Kent Bazemore went 11 and 9. Some nice numbers from both of those guys, but nothing overly exciting there. Kyle Korver, 6 points in 30 minutes. It just feels like he's never going to get back what he was doing last year. Yeah, there'll be flashes and there'll be the occasional game that he puts up the numbers, but I just don't see it happening as an ongoing sort of thing for Korver. And in some situations, he's not a must-own play. He is in most to me, but if you're in an 8-team league, then he's not. In some 10-team leagues, you might even be able to move on from Kyle Korver, depending on what's around and how your team is looking personally. On the Pacers, George Hill, 18, 8, and 3 with 3 three-pointers. He's playing quite well at the moment. He was obviously red-hot with his shooting, where he went 7 of 9, which obviously is a big boon to your scoring and to your overall fantasy value. But he's been playing pretty well. He's a top 50 player over the last month at 15, 4.5, 3 assists. He's a great punt assist point guard as well. He's only at 3.2 for the season, but he does it in other areas. He helps. He's generally a pretty efficient guy, gets some nice steals, hits a lot of threes. That's where his value is as a point guard. It doesn't come from bulk assists. So if you're looking to fill a point guard spot in a punt assist team, which I've got him in a punt assist team as my point guard, he fits pretty nicely. Miles Turner made his first NBA start and looked impressive. 20 and 6 in 26 minutes, an assist, a block, efficient shooting. If you didn't think that he was a must-own player beforehand, it's clear that he's a must-own player now. Him and Jan Mahinmi, a really nice combination. Yeah, it reduced what Lavoie Allen could do. Fine, he's useless. It reduced what Jordan Hill did. Fine as well. It doesn't really matter. Turner is the future of this team in the front court. He has to be owned. I think his role only increases as the season moves on. And he has legitimately got top 75 potential. And if we look at from, say, February to the end of the year, if he finishes a top 50 player, wouldn't be shocked. He's got a lot of fantasy upside with him. Now, Mahinmi played 30 minutes. That's 2 games back from his ankle, 30 minutes in both. 8 and 6 with 2 blocks. Hit all 6 of his free throws, so belying his punt free throw sort of descriptor. I think he has to be owned in most leagues, depending on the setting and depending on how your team looks, but the minutes are going to be him. He's going to play over Hill. He's going to play over Allen. Now, Lavoie Allen went back to the bench. He grabbed 12 rebounds and had 2 blocks, but he was never really in standard league consideration either, or anyway, so we don't worry there. And CJ Miles has dropped off completely. Only 23 minutes. The emergence of Turner is going to hurt Miles as well, as they go with a more traditional 2-big lineup. 9 points with a 3. He is not a must-own player. And Paul George really struggled. He went 2 of 11. Hit all 7 of his free throws, but only 11, 3, and 3 with a steal. Definitely not the greatest night from Paul George, but it didn't matter because they got the victory by almost 20 points. The Denver Nuggets and the Washington Wizards. Danilo Gallinari, 26, 5, and 6. 4 triples and a steal. Just keeps getting it done. While Emmanuel Mudiay bounced back from a disappointing night, going 20, 4, and 4. 2 steals and a 3. Really efficient. 7 of 14, 5 of 6. You don't expect that from Emmanuel Mudiay. You know where his value is. Points leagues, punt percentage builds, and that's basically it. Ken Faried couldn't back up his big night from the other day. 7 and 5 with a steal and a block. That's not good in 27 minutes. because he's not good. And Will Barton had 15 and 3 in 26 minutes with 2 steals and a block. So the Will Barton train is getting back on the track, and he's starting to get back to those sort of early season numbers. Not a great night from Gary Harris. 29 minutes, 5 points with a couple of steals. So still helped in the steals, still hit a 3, but not a great overall night. And Jameer Nelson was finally back from that wrist injury. He played 17 minutes, 6 points, 4 assists, and a couple of 3s. But it looks like that Moutier is going to remain as the starter. So Nelson's value in 12-team leagues is kaput. Darrell Arthur also got 21 minutes, while Yusuf Nurkic played 16, going 8-5 with a block, which is pretty nice in terms of per-minute production, but he's not a 12-team league guy. On the Wizards, Johnny Wall, 17-7-9, 4 steals, 2 blocks, 2 triples, a very, very good line there. 5 of 17 from the field, I probably wouldn't class that as really, really good, but everything else you'd be pretty happy with. Marcin Gortat, a 12-10 double-double with 2 blocks in his 29 minutes, while Garrett Temple hit 5 triples on the way to 20 points, had 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. Great numbers. He's a great DFS punt play at the moment while these wings are having injury issues. But to me, he's not a 12-team league sort of player who's going to have sustained value. Nene is someone who can be owned for now, and you know, you move on from him. He was a guy. Now, in the Red Rock Listener League, I dropped Nene to add Bobby Portis in our fab auction, and that's fine. Now, Portis, we'll talk about him a little bit later, but that's the sort of, you know, level of guy that you should be making the move on for Portis. I'm sure Portis has been snapped up in basically every single league that's active at the moment, and I had a pretty big, discussion on Portis on yesterday's podcast. Brad Beal, yeah, scoring efficiently, 26 minutes, 17 points, 2 assists, a steal, not doing enough. You still have to hold him, but his value has taken a massive, massive drop with this injury issue and the minutes restriction that may not be lifted at all this season. No Gary Neal in this one, obviously no Otto Porter, and that allowed Kelly Oubre only 7 minutes. So yeah, as I said before, he is not someone to go out and own if Porter happens to miss time. The Sacramento Kings and New Orleans Pelicans, Boogie Cousins, 41 minutes, 21-10-6, 1 steal, 5 blocks, another big Boogie night. That was an unintentional pun, didn't mean that at all. Rajon Rondo, it's his 14th straight double-digit assist game, 17-6-15 with a 3 and a steal. He has been incredibly good this season, incredibly good. Back to, you know, pre-knee injury Rondo. Omri Caspi played 29 minutes, 8-6 with 2 triples and a steal in Rudy Gay's spot. And Willie Cauley-Stein, only 15 minutes. He was getting torn apart by Ryan Anderson, so he wasn't on the court too much. I'm not panicking with this. I'm not dropping him. It was a matchup-based thing. He was getting destroyed. The Kings went really small in that allowed McLemore to get more of those minutes as Cauley-Stein was taken off. I think he's going to be back to his 30 minutes in the next game and back to producing pretty decent fantasy value, and he should be owned in all 12-team leagues. Darren Collison's a borderline 12er, 8-1-3 in his 26 minutes, while Marco Bellinelli had 6 points in 20 minutes of his own. On the Pelicans, Ryan Anderson. So just finished with a 36 after 30 in the first half, 5 triples, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, really takes advantage of Anthony Davis being out. When Davis plays, he's still solid, but he's nowhere near as good as when he gets those extra minutes. And we're talking extra minutes like 38, 37, yeah, an extra 8 or 9 minutes. It makes a big, big difference. Over his last week, he's played 37 minutes a game. He's at 27-8 with 4.7 triples. These are big numbers. He's just outside the top 50 on the season. The last couple of weeks have been improved, but he's prone to fits of inconsistency. That's something that does happen with him quite often. But his minutes have been up this year on last year, an extra 4 minutes a game this season. And whenever Davis is out, you know you're going to get a bigger response from him. Big night from Alonzo G. 10-2 with 5 steals in 29 minutes, and just really sneaky what he's doing at the moment, because he's no good, but he's putting up numbers over the last week or so. You're getting some decent fantasy numbers now. They've been pretty good for DFS, but I reckon you'd be shocked to know that in the last 2 weeks, Alonzo G is a top 65 player. In 30 minutes, he's averaging 7.3 points, so it's obviously not coming from his scoring, but you're getting 6.6 rebounds, 0.3 triples, 2 steals, 55-87 is his percentages, no turnovers whatsoever, so that sort of skews the numbers a little bit there, but really good steal numbers, really good rebounders for a small forward, and he's had a lot of DFS value. So he's probably a 14-team league guy at the moment. I don't think that he's a guy that I'm running to add in 12-team leagues, but just interesting to note that he is putting up some decent numbers in a pretty solid role. Another guy I'm not rushing to add is Omer Asik. He played 27 minutes and had 8 and 13 with 4 blocks. He is not a shot blocker, despite being a defensive center. He's not a shot blocker, so don't think that this is something that's going to happen with him often. Good night, but it's here. Yeah, when's it going to happen next? Norris Cole, 17, 7 and 10, a steal, a 3, inefficient shooting. It's basically the hallmarks of a Norris Cole game. He's going to get minutes. Tyreek is looking in a lot of trouble here at the moment. Not looking forward to his what's going to happen with him for the rest of the year. Cole should be owned in 12-team leagues, unfortunately, because you know that I'm not a big Norris Cole guy. Drew Holiday looked good again. 34 minutes. The minutes restrictions look to be done. 25, 5 and 8, 1, 3. Inefficient, 8 of 24, but hit all 8 of his free throws. If you weathered the storm early on with him, you're going to be pretty happy, I think, over the second half of the season. With Tyreek out, the Pelicans, after playing big minutes to Tony Douglas the last couple of games, let's sign a recent signee as the starter, Bryce DeJean Jones, and played him 35 minutes. 14 points for DeJean Jones, 3 triples, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Interesting that they went with him. I thought that Douglas would get that extra run. With DeJean Jones, in a 16-team league, you got to add him because there's a potential chance that Evans is out long-term here. And if DeJean Jones is going to get 30 minutes, then he's going to do something. So 16-team leagues need to pay attention to him. Apart from that, we'll leave him aside for most other standard formats. With Anthony Davis out, Alexei Ajinsa was unforgivably given only 14 minutes, 2 and 6, with a steal and a block. He is out of the realm of standard leagues while Elvin Gentry continues to misuse him. The New York Knicks and the Toronto Raptors. The Knicks were without Carmelo Anthony, Kristaps, and Jose Calderon. They're potentially their three best players out of the lineup, and they put up a pretty decent fight against the Raptors. These absences allowed Saša Vujačić to play 24 minutes. He went 13-6, 2 assists, 2 steals, 3 triples. The machine with a very, very nice line, but that is not going to be the case moving forward. Langston Galloway started in place of Jose Calderon, 12-4-2, 2 blocks. It's 2 big games in a row for Galloway, one at the expense of Anthony, today at the expense of Calderon. He can take a flyer on him in a 12-team league. We don't know if Calderon or Anthony are going to be out any longer. My guess is it's only going to be short-term for both of those guys, so you might get some short-term value from Galloway, but he's more of a 14-team league guy. A nice game from Aaron Aflalo, 20 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 triples, but you know how it goes with him. If his shot doesn't fall, forget about anything else. And you know what? It didn't fall that well here, but he took 17 of them, and 7 of them went in, so decent result. Robin Lopez, 25 minutes, 7 and 8 with a couple of blocks. Well, Jerry and Grant got the extra run here with Jose out. 25 minutes for Grant, 13, 4 and 6, 2 steals and a 3. I thought this would have been a prime opportunity for him to play 30 minutes, but I like what he did in 25, and he's got a real sneaky top 100 chance for the post-All-Star break portion of the season. Kylo Quinn-Cock, he started in place of Porzingis, 8 and 6 with a steal and 2 blocks in 19 minutes, and Lance Thomas had 7 and 2. In his 25 minutes, and Derek Williams stunk it up. There was a massive opportunity for him here. 28 minutes, 6 and 5, 2 assists and a steal on 3 of 12 shooting. He'd been really good in all the other games, so I think we give him a bit of a pass. And he's not a terrible short-term add if Mallow has to miss another game or if Porzingis is out for one more. You might get one more out for Mallett, and that'll allow Derek Williams to think. It's not a long-term thing, so don't drop anyone with long-term value, but it's definitely worth a stream. Kyle Lowry for the Raptors, 26, 6, and 10. 3 steals, 3 triples, 41 minutes. Back to his best, the wrist not bothering him, while All-Star teammate DeMar DeRozan went 26, 1, and 4. 1 steal, 2 blocks, and 1 triple. And both Lowry and DeRozan were 50% from the field and 87.5% from the free throw line. A little bit weird. You don't see that all that often, but some big numbers from both of those guys. Jonas Valanciunas grabbed 18 boards. He also was a very odd 4 of 16 from the field for 11 points. Very un-Valanciunas. Also 1 block. Whereas the power forward grouping of Patrick Patterson, he went 10 and 5 in 29 minutes, and Luis Scola, 7 and 4 in 19 minutes, didn't provide massive amounts. Only 22 minutes for Terrence Ross, so that's a little bit disappointing. Still had 6 and 5 with a 3, a steal, and 2 blocks, so some nice numbers there, while Corey Joseph went 11, 7, and 4 in his 24 minutes. Ross is still the guy that I go for in standard leagues, but it's not by any stretch is he a must-own player. Just a quick note on the Raptors. Good to see my boy Norman Powell getting onto the court for 4 minutes. I'd love to see him get some extra run. It's not going to happen at the moment, but he's a very exciting player when he gets going. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Memphis Grizzlies, with John Henson out, Miles Plumlee got into the rotation. 19 minutes, 6-5, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Very short-term add, very, very short-term, because we imagine Henson's going to be back for the next one. Greggy Munro, only the 25 minutes for him. 21-7 with a couple of assists. A nice night, but they got smashed. And Chris Middleton went 15-5-6 with 3 triples on a surprisingly inefficient play. 6 of 18 from the field for Middleton. Michael Carter-Williams, 27 minutes, 10-6. And you'll see most of these guys had their minutes reduced as it was a blowout, except Giannis, who played 35, 7-7-3. He also got ejected and shot 2 of 10. So it wasn't Giannis's greatest performance. And Jabari Parker went 7-8 in his 29 minutes. Also, don't read too much into these minutes. At 27 for Carter-Williams, 25 to Munro. The game was a blowout. It was over very early. So Jason Kidd grabbed guys like Chris Copeland and played them 7 minutes. And Rashad Vaughn played 21 minutes. Things that aren't going to happen most nights. For the Grizzlies, Marc Gasol, 15-8-4 with 4 steals. A nice game from him. And Jeff Green, who I touched on earlier, he got 32 minutes off the bench. 21-5 with 3 triples, while Matt Barnes went 13-4-2 with 4 threes, 1 steal and 2 blocks. If I'm owning either of these guys, it's Barnes. Green is a very, very shaky 12-team league guy. Barnes is more of a solid 12-team guy, but they're not must-owns, either of them. Tony Allen, 28 minutes in a start, 13-7, while Courtney Lee had 13 points in his 24 minutes. So all those wing guys just really spreading the wealth. Big game from Mario Chalmers. He played 27 minutes, 7-4-10 assists in that time, while Mike Conley only the 24 minutes. Again, Conley still working his way back from that Achilles, and when the game is out of reach, he's not going to play too much. And only 20 minutes for Zach Randolph as well, 8-3. And you know my thoughts on him. If there's someone really great that you want to add, he's not a must-hold. One of the oddest situations this season has been the Brandon Wright injury. I don't feel we've heard really anything much about it. He's got a sore knee. He's got a sore knee. He's out for 4 months. Very, very odd situation. There's a couple of those. CJ Watson's the other one of those in Orlando. High sore calf day to day. And then he's just never playing. Very, very weird. The last game of the night was the Chicago Bulls and the Los Angeles Lakers. Everyone's eyes were on Bobby Portis, and he did basically what I thought he would do. He played 22 minutes, 4-7, 1 assist and 2 steals. He'll be better other nights than this, but not massively better. And this is the conversation I was having yesterday. Yes, I added him in a 12-team league. I added him in multiple 12-team leagues, but I dropped a guy like Nene. I dropped a guy like Spencer Hawes. Guys who aren't great. Yeah, Portis is not going to be this long-term savior for any of your fantasy teams. Taj Gibson got 36 minutes and went 9-11 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. Pau Gasol went 21-12-7 with a steal and a block in his 31 minutes. Portis is playing third fiddle to these guys. He's not this, he's not Karl Anthony Towns. He's not.
Percentages.
He's not that level. He's good, but he's not that level. So just, again, remember the sort of guidance or the pointers I gave you yesterday about when to add him and where it is on your team, because this is it. 22 minutes, 23 minutes, this is where he is. And Dougie McDermott got extra run, 24 minutes, which is something we thought would happen. They gave Cameron Bairstow 4 minutes, Cristiano Felizio got 3 minutes, and that's what they're doing at power forward. Dougie McDermott had 15 points with 3 triples. He is literally going to be a points and threes guy, and that's about it. And Tony Snell was banished to the bench and played 5 minutes too many, to be honest. While Etuan Moore got the start and played 36 minutes. That's a weird one to me. 8-2 with 2 steals and a block. Pretty good defender, Moore, and no fantasy appeal whatsoever. Jim Butler had 26-5-10 with 4 steals. A nice night from him. And Derrick Rose, 16-7-5, back from that hamstring and back problem. Oh, sorry. It was the knee, wasn't it? I never know. It was an injury. It was Derrick Rose, and it was an injury. He was back, and he looked efficient, and he was putting up good numbers. Great that he's back. Definitely fine to own until the wheels come off the next time. On the Lakers, my boy Byron Scott with a great comment that D'Angelo Russell, we're going to start him after the All-Star break. Cool. Why don't you start him now? Byron loves having defined timelines in his head for no reason. Like, we're doing it because I've written it in my diary. That's his reasoning. It's what it feels like. I wrote it in my diary that after the All-Star break, Russell will be starting. Cool. Why? Why not do it now? What's different after the All-Star break? He did it last year. We're going to run this starting lineup for 15 games, and then we're going to change it. And then we're going to change it again after 15 games. Have some flexibility. Have some common sense. Seriously, everything's scripted for this team. His comments, his press conferences, his rotations, his lineup changes, everything's preordained and pre-done in advance. There's nothing off the cuff except when he challenges one of his Instagram followers to a fight. Nothing makes sense. Julius Randle, 27 minutes, 14 and 8 with a steal and a block. Nice night to the peripherals, good efficiency. Real back-end 12 team lead guy, if at all. Larry Nance, only the 18 minutes. Larry Nance apparently is going to retake this starting job. 7-5 for him in his 18 minutes. Well, D'Angelo Russell, who I just touched on before but didn't give you what he did, he was terrible. He was only 1 of 7 from the field, 3-4-4 with a 3 and a steal, and it's not unreasonable to think that he was not happy with the comments that were coming from Scott in the last game and that affected his play. Maybe it wasn't, but hey, wouldn't be shocked. Kobe played 25 minutes and appears that that's what he's going to do for the rest of the year. 10-4-3, 2 steals, 2 threes, 4 of 13 shooting. Obviously can only be owned in a punt field goal league, punt field goal setting team, and even then, it's tough to own him. With Lou Williams out, Nick Young played 29 minutes, 14-3 with 3 triples. You can leave him alone. And Jordy Clarkson went 16-4-4. Anthony Brown also got extra run. 35 minutes for Brown, 7-3. He's getting a lot of run at the moment, which I do nothing but applaud. He's just not producing any numbers, and he can be left alone, except if we're talking about the deepest of deep leagues. All right, we are done for the review of the games. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back to do a preview of Friday's action. This is the part with just the guitar. While we wait on the bass and drums, I'll sing of love and you from afar. Well, here they come in now. Me and the sky are on the road. As we hit the halftime break, the chorus let you know. You can't see what I see. Guys, I'm back. We're going to be looking at these games now for Friday. There is 9 of them, so there's stacks to look at. Let's not waste any more time and let's get stuck right into these ones. You know what? There's so much to get to. Let's have a second dose of Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Ah, of course. The Orlando Magic and the Boston Celtics. The Celtics are favored by 8, and the total is 204 points. Isaiah Thomas, freshly minted All-Star reserve, is dealing with a sore ankle. He will likely be able to play. Doesn't look like he's going to be too much of an issue there with him. Fantasy value-wise in this game, the Orlando guys are the guys that I'm really looking at here. Aaron Gordon at 4,400. Hasn't really lit the world on fire. Did put up 27 in 37 minutes in the last game, and at 4,400, that's plenty. You would think that if he doesn't get into foul trouble, he's going to get over 30 minutes, and he should be able to get 25 points, you know, relatively comfortably. So he's a decent play. Toby Harris at 5,900. 5,900 just feels a little bit too expensive for him. Not a bad matchup, but not the guy that I would go for. The other guy that I do like is Nick Vucevic. He's at 7,800. He's had a 40-point average across the last three. The Celtics allow big men to go pretty big. He's one of the better big men in the game. He's at 7,800. He feels like a pretty solid investment. Vic Oladipo at 6,000. The salary's not bad, but the opposition's not good. So I think we leave him alone, and we do the same for Lord Alfred Payton at 5,900, not really wanting to risk it on either of those guys. On the Celtics side of things, Isaiah Thomas has dropped in salary. He's down to 8,000. It's still too high. He's just not getting anywhere near that amount at the moment. Only averaging 32 across the last five, less than 30 across his last three. Dropped to 20 in the last game. And the Magic have been able to reduce point guards relatively well recently. In fact, you could get Marcus Smart and pay 2,600 less than him, and he's averaging just 3 DFS points less over the last three games. Don't think that Marcus Smart is necessarily an awesome play here, but that's sort of the level that Thomas is at the moment. Jay Crowder at 6,400. I don't mind it, but the big men are the ones who are going to have the biggest opportunity. Now, Amir Johnson put up over 40 in his last game. He's priced at 5,300. Jared Sullinger at 56 and Kelly Olynyk at 5,000. All of them look appealing, but you can't rely upon them in cash. They're more for tournament options, and you hope that they have like an Amir Johnson 40-point game or a Kelly Olynyk 40-point game or a Jared Sullinger 40-point game. They're all got massive chances of doing it, but we never know which one's going to be which. Avery Bradley at 5,100 has been pretty much exceeding value every game over the last couple of weeks. Dropped 40 in the last game. He's averaging 29 across the last five. You feel that this is a pretty neutral matchup in terms of the Magic going against him. He's definitely in position for a pretty nice night, I would have thought. So I'm relatively comfortable getting him into a lineup. And Evan Turner, surprisingly, averaging 27 across the last three. He's at 5,100. You could probably do better, but I'm pretty sure Evan Turner's ownership is going to be fairly low in tournaments tomorrow. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Detroit Pistons is the next game we're going to take a look at. Not much injury-wise in that one, which is always good news. Tristan Thompson at 4,500 hasn't been able to produce numbers lately. The minutes have been there, but this is not a good matchup. I think we leave him alone. Reggie Jackson at 71 comes into play. Really nice matchup against Kyrie. The salary is not exorbitant. You feel you can get 34 out of him relatively comfortably, so I think he's not a bad option. Whereas Kyrie, at 500 less, just hasn't been getting anywhere close to it, plus the matchup is worse for Irving. I would rather spend it on Reggie Jackson at this point. Kevin Love at 7,300. Big game up in the last one against Phoenix at 47 points. He doesn't need to get 47 points at 7,300. If he can just get close to 35, I think you're relatively happy. And I think he's got a pretty decent shot at that. And Andre Drummond's at 8,500. A really appealing salary. The matchup is not great, and the risk of the minutes is a concern. If you think that Cleveland will go the hacker strategy, don't play him. If you don't think they will, I think that he's a big chance to go for 40+. But that is the risk you're running with Andre Drummond these days. Not much else really is all that interesting. LeBron at 9,800. The matchup is not ideal for him. But I think he'll have to play some decent minutes, so he's not terrible. But can he get to 50 points? I think he can get 40, 42 maybe. That's sort of his area, I reckon, where we're looking at with LeBron in this matchup. And that makes me probably want to go in other directions. The Matthew Dellavedova, J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert backcourt. If I'm going anyone, it's definitely Smith, who is a 31 average across the last three and dropped 35 in the last game. He's playing the best out of that triumvirate, and the salary is not expensive. While 5,700 on the other side for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope feels probably a little bit out of the correct price range for him. The Phoenix Suns and the New York Knicks is the next one. No spread for this one because we do not know the status of Melo. We do not know the status of Kristaps Porzingis. We do not know the status of Jose Calderon. We've got TJ Warren with a questionable tag for an ankle problem, and John Lua probable with the back spasms to come back. Now, Brandon Knight does not have a timetable to return. That is not sounding good. Archie Goodwin should be owned in all standard leagues, and at 5,000 in DFS, he makes not as good of a play as what he had been, but still pretty impressive nonetheless. 5,000 for Archie Goodwin is a good option. It's a good one, in fact. Alex Len at 4,800. Wasn't that good in his last game against Cleveland, but still played 27 minutes. So at 4,800, you're banking him getting 25 points. And I think against the Knicks, if all those guys are out, you should be able to see that from Lynn. I think he's a relatively nice play. If Melo happens to play at 8,800, the matchup definitely favors him, but it all depends on if he's going to be able to go. And if Melo is out, we look again to Derek Williams, even after a poor game here, and we have to look again to Langston Galloway, who's got two avenues to playing, Jose Calderon being out and Melo being out. He's averaging 25 across the last three. He's priced at 4,100, Langston Galloway, so he becomes even if one of these guys are out, Langston Galloway at 4,100 becomes a very nice option. PJ Tucker's at 48. He's been exceeding value over his last few games, averaging 27 in the last three. He's worth a look. Devin Booker at 4,900. I'd rather spend 100 less on PJ Tucker. Booker's still not a bad option, but yeah, again, I'd rather on Tucker. Kristaps is at 6,900. If Mallow's out, maybe a look at it. The matchup really does suit him, but he's coming off an illness. He's also coming off a string of performances that haven't quite been up to his salary-wise in DFS. So not the best option for him, but there's still some tournament upside there. Robin Lopez at 4,900. No, I reckon we can do better. He's in a bit of a slump at the moment, and not many other guys to pay attention to. Maybe you throw Jerrion Grant at there at 3,800 if Jose Calderon's out. He put up 29 today. The matchup is super enticing. He'd be someone to look at if Jose is out in case he gets 27 minutes, and then he could really blow up. But a really nice performance from him today. The Houston Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder are favored by 7.5, and the total is a massive 222 points. Okay. Deion Waiters is at 3,900. He's been getting stacks of minutes. He's been doing nothing with them, but in 35 minutes across his last five games, that's good. 16 points, though, is not good. Tournament option, Rockets bump. Definitely look at Deion Waiters. Maybe something happens with him. 5,800 for Serge Ibaka. Again, really, really poor as of late. Only 11 points in the last game. Less than 23 average across his last five games. He's at 5,800. He gets a Rockets bump. Not a cash game option, but definitely a tournament play for him. Steve Adams at 4,300. Maybe I throw him into a tournament. And Russ Westbrook at 10,800. I do like him. He's basically a lock for 50 points almost every time he goes out there. He's got an issue with Pat Beverley. I think he looks to put up big numbers against him. His partner in crime, Kevin Durant, at 10,600 now. That's not enough to stop me rostering him against the Houston Rockets. As for James Harden, 10,200, really got stuck by Kawhi Leonard, unsurprisingly. The Thunder do have an ability to shut down opposition shooting guards, but with Andre Robertson out, that ability is reduced. So Harden, you should be a 47-48 point sort of player. He can be used, but if I'm spending 10,000, Westbrook and Durant definitely come above him. Pat Beverley at 4,400 is a very low price point guard. The Russell Westbrook does allow point guards to have some decent numbers. He's averaging 23 in his last three, Beverley. You're not expecting big numbers, but he's not a terrible cash game option. But I reckon if you really want to throw some low dollars out and build it up in other spots, Beverley might be a guy to go with. Trevor Ariza at 5,700. I'm ignoring the game he had against the Spurs. If he's starting at the power forward, you can get 30 points out of him relatively comfortably, so he becomes an option. And Dwight at 8,100, I won't be using him in this matchup, nor will I be looking at Clint Capella or Terrence Jones. The Miami Heat and the Milwaukee Bucks, no spread release for this one. We're waiting on the status of Hassan Whiteside. He was only able to get through half of practice on Thursday, so probably on the doubtful side of questionable. He's currently listed as questionable. Not much that really stands out fantasy-wise in this one. Chris Bosh at 7,600 against a weak Milwaukee front court. 35 points feels like it should be relatively straightforward for him. And Dwayne Wade's been on a real hot run of form. He's averaging 42 across his last three. He's at 7,500. But you feel with the way that he's currently playing, he's definitely not a terrible option. If Whiteside plays, he's at 7,900. The Bucks front court is weak. I would expect a pretty big game out of Hassan if he can play. Now, guys like Michael Carter-Williams, not against the Heat. Jabari Parker, not against the Heat. Laurel Deng for the Heat at 4,500 is an okay guy to look at. He's averaging 22 in the last three, but the very, very, very low upside. 8,000 for Greg Monroe is just too expensive at the moment. Can't trust him to even get to 30 minutes a night most of the time. And 7,500 for Giannis Antetokounmpo is too expensive. 7,600 for Chris Middleton, it's obviously just as expensive, but his production has lived up to it. He's averaging over 37 in his last five games. I don't imagine the Heat restrict him overly, so he is in play, whereas Giannis is not someone who I'm all that excited about rostering. The Brooklyn Nets and the Dallas Mavericks is the next game up. We've got the Mavericks favored by 9.5, and the total is 199 for this one. Three guys for Dallas are questionable. Dirk Nowitzki, Devin Harris, and Zaza Pachulia. It looks like we're going to get Zaza and Dirk back at least, so that's going to reduce any influence of Dwight Powell, of Salah Mejri, of JaVale McGee. 5,600 for Darren Williams. Talk about a revenge situation. Former team, didn't play them the first time. I think he had an illness, didn't play them. The matchup is superb for him. He's been really down in form, but this has got 30-35 fantasy points on it for Darren Williams. I think he's going to be a very, very nice option here. Chandler Parsons, red hot at the moment. His lowest score in his last five is 34 points, which is obviously fantastic at a guy who's priced at 6,600. Now, that salary has risen. This matchup is positive. He's averaging 38. it feels like you can't go wrong using him at the moment. Donald Sloan and Shane Larkin, you can go wrong using both of those, even combined. Not much to get too excited about there. And Brook Lopez at 8,100, just not living up to that 8,100 salary over his recent stretch of games. And Dallas has been relatively good against opposition centres. I won't use Dirk coming back. I won't use Zaza coming back, who'd been a little bit quiet lately anyway. If Devin Harris is out, Ray Felton at 4,200 is definitely worth a look, as is JJ Barea at 3,900. And Felton put up 21 in the last game. Barea put up 24 with Harris out. And the matchup for them is overwhelmingly positive as well. Minnesota and Utah. The Jazz are favored by 7.5 points. The total is 194. Kevin Martin, Kevin Garnett are both doubtful. So Zach LaVine becomes a great option. He's at 46. Sam Mitchell's going to have almost no choice but to play him 30 minutes. That should mean at least 30 fantasy points. It meant 41 in the last game. He becomes a really good option. Shabazz Muhammad at 41. His play has fallen off. Not a good matchup for him, so I'll steer clear of him. And any other Minnesota guys worth looking at? To be honest, not really. I don't want Wiggins. I don't want Rubio. Karl Anthony Towns at 8,200. I'd love it if you're still at 7,500. At 8,200, he's basically right on where he needs to be. And not going into Rudy Gobert, I don't think he's going to be able to crack the 40-point mark. On the Jazz, Rod Hood is at 5,800. He's been playing fantastically well. I like him. It's a real positive matchup for him as well. And Gobert at 7,100, probably not the right spot to use him. Gordy Hayward, 8,300. He's been solid, and the small forward options aren't plentiful. So if you think he can get 37 points, that's probably enough for him. He's been really consistent around that 37 to 40 mark over the last 4 or 5 games. Derek Favors at 7,200. He's still going to have his minutes restricted, so we'll leave him out of it. Trey Burke not getting it done. We can leave him alone. And probably that's about it. Oh, Gorgie Jing is the other one. He's at 5,000, so he hopefully will get another start. You should be able to get 25 to 26 points against him, off him, even against this Jazz defense. The next game is the Charlotte Hornets and the Portland Trail Blazers. The Blazers are favored by 5.5. The total is 205 here. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist could be coming back for this one. Now, in standard leagues, I don't think that he's worth an ad at this point. He's going to take a while to get back into action, and he was real borderline standard league guy as it is. DFS, we're not using him just yet, but it could have a negative impact on other players. Now, Jeremy Lin has already been ruled out of this game. Jeremy Lamb is considered questionable. It might impact both of those guys' minutes, the return of Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. It may also impact the minutes of Marvin Williams. That's another name to keep an eye on. Big men, Spencer Hawes at 4,000. Very good cheap center option. Averaging 24 points across the last 5. Getting the extra run with Cody Zeller out. So he's definitely an option there. Nick Batum at 6,300. Not playing him at this point. And Frank Kaminsky's at 42. He's just not getting anything happening at this point either. So I think I'll leave him alone. Kemba Walker's at 8,800. That is too expensive. This is, Portland does have a pretty porous backcourt, but it's not translating into big fantasy nights. And 8,800, you need him to be pushing 45 fantasy points, and he just isn't doing it quite at the moment. So that feels just a situation that's too expensive and something that I'll leave for someone else. CJ McCollum at 7,600, really nice spot for him. Good matchup. He's been in decent but not sparkling form. But at 7,600, I think that 33, 35 points is on the cards. I like him. And his backcourt partner, Damian Lillard, at 8,800. All-star snub. Maybe he drops a 40 bomb on this one. There's a big chance of him doing that. But 8,800, it feels just a little bit restrictive in terms of price. The big men situation, the one I go for is Mason Plumlee. He's at 5,600. He's been a 29-point guy over his last 5 games. Yes, the matchup is not all that positive, but I think that we can get 27 to 28 out of him and get really close to that 5x sort of value. Ed Davis, Al-Farouq Aminu, Myers Leonard, all those guys are punts for tournaments, but they're not really all that exciting. Speaking of not all that exciting, the Los Angeles Lakers take on the Los Angeles Clippers. Lou Williams is questionable with an illness. That doesn't mean that we're going to see D'Angelo Russell, though, because Byron Scott is coaching. And there is almost no real good fantasy value in this one. I don't mind DeAndre Jordan at 7,900, especially against the Lakers. He's someone we can look at. Jamal Crawford at 4,100 is a good punt option in a tournament, as is Wes Johnson at 4,100. Both of those guys can drop 26, 27 fantasy points through different means, but they're worth looking at in a tournament. Now, J.J. Redick's been definitely down, and he's like, this is as good a matchup as he can get, so I'm definitely okay at 5,000, throwing him out there and seeing what he can give you, but yeah, his form hasn't been great. 5,800 for Julius Randle. It's okay. I think he's an okay cash game guy. I don't think he's got much upside for tournaments, though. And Chris Paul at 9,900. It's a beautiful matchup. How much does he have to play, though? Let's be honest. He might have his minutes reduced, though. I don't really think that he is... I'd much rather play Russell Westbrook at that extra $500 because I think that he'll have to play a bigger role than what Chris Paul will in this one. Jordan Clarkson at 5,700. He's basically a 24-point guy most nights. Not quite what you need him to be. And D'Angelo Russell, really, really struggling. Not a good matchup against Chris Paul. So this is not a good spot for us to use him in DFS. Kobe, we leave alone. Larry Nance, I reckon we leave him out of it as well. Let's bring up the DFS picks of the day now. Point guards, Pat Beverly, 44. Archie Goodwin, 5,000. And Russ Westbrook, 10,800. At shooting guard, Zach LaVine, 4,600. Aaron Aflalo, 5,000. And CJ McCollum, 76. Aflalo's there more if Mallow is out. Small forwards, PJ Tucker, 48. Chandler Parsons, 66. And KD at 10,600. Power forwards, Aaron Gordon, 44. Kevin Love, 73. And Chris Bosh, 76. And centers, Alex Len, 48. Mason Plumlee, 56. And Nick Vucevic, 7,800. We are done here, guys. Make sure you are following me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball and BasketballMonster at BaskMonster. And don't forget, enter the competition. Win yourself an NBA jersey. Be the 400th person to leave a review on iTunes, and you get that NBA jersey. We had stacks come in yesterday. We're not all that far away from announcing a winner, so make sure you're going and flooding iTunes, spending that 5 minutes, leave a review. It's free, and you could win yourself an NBA jersey. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.